And over the last number of days, DJ Carey, former Kilkenny All-Ireland winner, former All-Star, has been spending the first of a long stretch of nights in prison because of his role in defrauding people of hundreds of thousands of euro. The total figure in court was around 400,000 euro for what was proven, but the real total could be close to 2 million euro. A shocking figure, and I suppose goes to show the length of which he went to take money off people. Well, this has been a focus, and the whole story has been a focus of a new book, The Dodger, by journalist Eimear Ní Vreanán, who's with me on the line. Eimear, good morning to you, and thanks for joining me in the programme. And listen, can I talk to you just before we talk about the, I suppose, the, how you approach this story? Could that really be the figure?
The figure of 2 million absolutely would not be considered wide off the mark. Now, I base that on sources that I have, people that I've met. There's various reasons why people would not want the Gardaí to know how much they gave DJ Carey. And in fact, there are organisations even out there who gave Carey money that would not want to form part of the Garda investigation. Now, in some cases, obviously, there's humiliation, and it's deeply embarrassing for people. And I'll tell you, even last night, I'm still receiving emails, I'm still receiving direct messages on social media from people, and I'm checking them out, I'm going through them, and they're from people that I would have approached some time back that now tell me, listen, I didn't tell you at the time, but I actually gave money too. I only included figures where I believed sums were given to Carey. I think DJ Carey's the only one who knows, and maybe perhaps he doesn't even know the total because it's going on for so long. So I met people, Jerry, everyone from a tenner or 100 quid all the way up to 120,000 euro. They're people I sat down with. So, I mean, everything's relative. For some people, 100 euro is a lot of money to give somebody. And for somebody else, like a businessman, Tom Brennan, 120, that's serious money. And it was done correctly through a loan agreement. And it was on the basis that DJ Carey had cancer and that he'd pay him back.
Yeah. Eimear, when you first started following the story, did you have any idea that it would lead to this, that you'd be writing a book about it, that it would go so far and so wide, this level of deception?
No. So at the start, I just started paying attention because people in my own area were telling me things about DJ Carey. I thought maybe he was a bad businessman. I actually had a lot of empathy for him. DJ, I thought, was a nice guy. He was somebody who was always very accessible to the media. But there was something about from 2022 onwards, and the stories I was hearing, it seemed that he was popping up here, there and everywhere. And everywhere he was asking people for money. It was fairly relentless, Jerry. Now, when I say it's a small area I'm from Carlow. I worked in Kilkenny for years in the local radio, as you probably know. And when you sit in the chair in the local radio, people tell you things. People meet you and they say, geez, Eimear, did you hear about DJ? And especially after Paul Murphy's primetime piece on Katrina, we saw... that night, we'd say, a programme, and many people said to me straight afterwards that really I should be looking at DJ Carey. Now, I didn't know where this was going. When you work in local radio, there's a lot of defamation concerns, a lot of limitations on what you can do. And obviously, I was just taking notes, meeting people, and not really sure where this was going. And then actually, when it became very clear to me, he defrauded somebody I knew, a woman who actually suffered from the illness he was claiming to have, a formidable businesswoman, Mag Kerwin. It started to become abundantly clear what was going on, and the Gardaí were honing in on him at this stage. He had been arrested. I didn't know at that stage he had made some admissions to Gardaí even. But in the period between arrest and charge, a small publishing firm in Newbridge actually approached me about DJ Carey, coincidentally, and asked me if I knew anything about what was going on and would I be interested in a news investigation on him. They knew I had previously written about his business when I worked for the Irish Independent. So at that stage, I had a head start, we'd say, because I was keeping a close eye on him. I knew there was something amiss.
Eimear, are there people out there who still have sympathy for him, even some of the people who he took money off?
Yes, there are, Jerry. Now, look, I feel very sorry for his victims because they're living close to home. They're living, some of them, in Kilkenny. We all feel desperately sorry for his family. The people, I mean, in his family that have absolutely, absolutely no links to criminality whatsoever. The decent people in his family. And, you know, that is hard. You can imagine this is a place where everybody knows everybody and some people will turn on you, and they didn't want to believe that DJ Carey was actually not just defrauding people, not just a cancer con man, but actually betraying those who trusted him and loved him. Like, very, very callous how he did this. And the people that he conned didn't turn on him, actually. The Gardaí, remember, went to them and sought statements from them, because what set off a chain of events, actually, was that DJ Carey was putting some vulnerable person under a lot of pressure. And the banks now have systems in place. The banks flagged that there was a suspicious transaction. A vulnerable person was about to transfer a huge sum of money to DJ Carey. They contacted the Gardaí. The Gardaí in Waterford, who did an extraordinary job, by the way, they started to look into Carey. They sought all his bank statements, and they contacted people whose names appeared on those statements to ask them, why were you transferring money to DJ Carey? And then they heard, the people told them, listen, we transferred money on the basis of a loan to give him money to go to Seattle for cancer treatment. And it all went from there. Obviously, the Gardaí spoke to DJ Carey, and in the early stages of the investigation, he seemed to not know where it was going himself, and he made a lot of admissions to Gardaí at that stage. In fact, he told them he was in good health. He had never been to Seattle.
Yeah. Eimear, was there an element of people who still refused to believe that he could have done this, even up until the recent court hearing and the conviction and the sentence?
Listen, Gerry, absolutely. Now, look, there's an awful lot of very, very intelligent, decent people in Kilkenny that know exactly what's going on. But sadly, there's also, and I get it, this is the nature of betrayal. It's very hard to process this story. There are some that don't want to believe it. It is. It's not something that's talked about much. So if I have been in Kilkenny in recent days, people find it very hard to bring it up. Obviously, they know about it, and they sometimes, they just sometimes don't want to believe, and they feel very sorry for him. Because remember, this man was incredible, like, at one time, and I hate revisionism. I don't want to wipe out the man's hurling history, right? What he's done, I don't condone it. It's, we know what it is. It's the judge said it's the most reprehensible kind of fraud. But there was also a time when we remember the feeling he gave us, and that was from the scores. It was the enjoyment. Yeah. People put their kids in the car. They brought them to Nolan Park to watch him train. I was very young when his star was rising. I was from across the border. I thought this guy was incredible. I mean, it goes beyond even hurling. I wasn't the biggest hurling fan, but of course, I mean, it was DJ Carey. If you saw DJ and DJ saw you, you thought this guy was just, he was like some kind of god. Young people ask me today, like, I have a 12-year-old and a lot of our friends wouldn't even know who he is. And I'd say, well, he'd be like our Messi back in the day, or, you know, he was just so incredible. He was also, there were lots of good things about him. This is the thing with DJ, he has different sides. We know about his dark side, but he also had a side to him where he was a down-to-earth celebrity, if you can imagine. He was the fella that stayed to sign the very last autograph. He went to so many medal presentations. He was often in Kerry, he was in Cork, he was in Donegal, he was all over. And he did a lot of stuff for charities as well. Now, there were times when he got money for it, but there were also times when he waved a hand and said the cup of tea was grand. You know, they gave him a crystal clock and he travelled the country. So all these things are true. There's so many contradictions. I found it hard to get my head around, and I know I've written a book on it, but I can tell you there were times when I did not enjoy this story, because it involves people I know. It's painful. But when somebody is stealing right under your nose in your community and pretending to have cancer, and all the signs were there that he knew what he was at because it was meticulous planning, his primary motivation was money, that's not something you can ignore, Gerry.
Yeah. Okay. You must stay with me. I want to talk a few more minutes about this if you can. We're talking with Éirne Rannan, the author of The Dodger, about DJ Carey. We'll have more with her after we take these.
Kerry Today on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with KWD Recycling. Collecting waste and recycling at your door. At your door.
Pull up your Sugon chairs, my friends, beside the fireside glow. And let's go back to how it was in the island of Longo. The Irish Rambling House sit back at Sheem Satira on Wednesday, November the 26th. Special guests Sean O'Shea and Anne-Marie O'Dwyer. Joining the cast of storytellers and Irish dancers are Francis Kennedy, Noel Joyce, John Kinsella, Tony O'Brien and the Breen family for a night filled with laughter, song and rich Irish history. Don't miss this wonderful evening of music, tales and joy. Call Sheem Satira on 066-712-3055 or book now at sheemsatira.com.
Feeling low on energy? Do you need a recharge? Forget the coffee. Fix the real problem. Hello, Fred here from Last Furnishings. You know a great night's sleep starts with a great mattress. Find yours today during our mattress promotion. Now on at Last Furnishings, Drumtacker, the store road to Low Roti. Because recharging is not just for phones.
There's a well-known expression that goes, the answer lies within. Well, it certainly applies to your local community pharmacy. Pharmacists are medicines experts and can offer you personalised advice about your healthcare needs and support you to take your medicines in the safest and most effective way. Whatever your medicines queries, consult with your pharmacist and get advice you know you can trust. Your local community pharmacy. The answer lies within. Brought to you by the Irish Pharmacy Union.
Manor West Hotel has it all this festive season. Call in to Sea Salt Cafe for a post-shopping coffee and treat. Enjoy a festive gathering for family or friends in the Mercantile Bistro or purchase a voucher from Manor West Hotel from our team at reception. With a renowned reputation for great food and service, the team at Manor West Hotel will look after you and your needs.
Hi, Deirdre here from Mobility Genie, inviting you to our fantastic showroom in Farn 4. At Mobility Genie, you'll find extra wide-fitting footwear, mobility aids and lots more. Our friendly team is always ready to guide you with over 35 years' experience in mobility retail. Visit mobilitygenie.ie or contact us on 066 712 0088. Remember, we're no longer in Tralee, we're now in Farn 4, the heart of Kerry. Mobility Genie. How can we help?
Do you want to get more active, but you find you're struggling with your mobility due to foot, ankle and heel pain? Does your child complain of shin splints or foot pain after sports or walking? Then why not ask the podiatrist? Anne-Marie Horgan will join me on Talk About This Tuesday to discuss all your foot and ankle queries and to give advice on how to keep your family's feet healthy. Ask the Podiatrist on Talk About is brought to you in association with the Tralee Killarney Podiatry Clinics, your local foot and ankle experts.
Tell us your story. Email kerrytoday@radiokerry.ie.
Yeah, keep your comments and your views. We want to hear from you on the programme. We're talking with Éirne Rannan about her book about DJ Carey, The Dodger. And Éirne, I just wanted to ask you, look, did you ever think, I know you thought a lot about him, obviously, at the time, and about why he was doing this? Was there some sort of a need in him? Because the reason I ask that question is because, like, he was the most famous person in Ireland. He was the most famous sports star in Ireland. I know his marriage broke down, but there was a time when he was on TV, he was writing a column in the newspaper, he was doing media work. His hurling greatness really meant that he could have led a very comfortable, secure life, but it didn't seem to be enough. Was that part of the issue, or what do you think about that, having studied him for so long?
It's a good question, and it is something that I wanted to find an answer for, because even in the first instance, I thought that what if he's actually ill, and I would like to give him obviously every benefit of the doubt, because this is a person who had a huge reputation, and I was just so aware that in cases like this, sometimes people genuinely believe they're ill. So I didn't, obviously this is the kind of expertise you'd need from a clinical psychologist, so beyond even my area of, you know, understanding, I could ask questions, all right, but I had to, I started reading books on medical deception and reading about things like factitious disorders and Munchausen's. And I contacted, I thought it would be unfair if I asked a psychologist in Ireland about him. They'd be very uncomfortable, I felt, with it, that Ireland is so small, a lot of people know people. So I went to the I contacted a man in the United States who's a very good authority in this area, and he's published books on Munchausen's and things like malingering, different kinds of medical deception, Dr. Mark Feldman. And he very kindly offered to talk to me over Zoom over a couple of sessions and email. And I filled him in on DJ Carey. Obviously, he's never examined him, but he talked to me about cases like this and the signs to look for, how you'd know if there were signs of illness there or if there were signs of criminality there, that there are things that, you know, if somebody is very sick, they'll want the operation, they'll believe they're sick. In cases like Munchausen's, there's no lengths they won't go to. The primary motivation a lot of the time is attention. In DJ's case, he certainly liked the attention, and the attention was part of it. Maybe after retirement, sports stars are more at risk. They like to keep the adulation coming. But his primary motivation appears to have been money, because the scale of the fail of fraud, I mean, he was trying, he was also a lot of planning, a lot of knowing how much your net worth was, that he would behave like a salesman. There were many steps he'd have to take in advance to kind of stay ahead of the fraud and to move on to the next person and all of that, and the groundwork that he'd put in. Now, I established this. This is not stuff that's plucked from the sky. Like, I had to sit down with a lot of people. I had to interview people who never gave him money, but he just rehearsed the story with them. So many people, it didn't matter whether he gave money or not, I'd ask them. Like, for instance, now, he was so busy that even people related to me saw him in golf clubs and with a laptop and thought it was strange that he spent so much time drinking tea, sitting in front of a laptop, sitting in a local hotel, table 17 or 18, his back to the wall, scoping the place out. And it started to really, just people wondered why he was around, so much. And people would say to me, why is DJ in here? And I'd say, well, sure, look, he's a salesman. You know, I knew he had a job with the drinks company at this stage. And I said, sure, maybe he's checking for their orders and that. And they were like, well, he's talking a lot about his health. He started to tell people about going to Seattle, pointing to marks on his head, getting into a lot of detail. But that would sometimes be followed up, maybe not the same day, but it would sometimes, an ask would come afterwards, or sometimes he'd find out about somebody, say, in your circle. Say if he met Jerry O'Sullivan, he'd tell you about his health, and then all of a sudden he might be meeting your mate and asking him for 10 quid, but you were all having a lot of sympathy for him.
Eimear, will this, finally and briefly, one of the things that will hit people, it's a shocking fall from grace, it's very upsetting for a lot of people, obviously, but will it, do you think, make people more reluctant to give to charity? Is that one of the fallouts from this?
I don't think so.
Or will they see this as a one-off, unusual case?
Look at Jerry, I think people are wary of charity these days anyway. We're more savvy and we ask questions in general because we've seen so many scandals rock various charities. But I think this case is quite unique in that this is an individual who was a cancer con man or a scammer. And it's terrible that he used the illness because obviously you'd worry, would that have an impact? But I think most people in Ireland are very generous people, and I think that they're discerning as well. They're more discerning now, so I think that they like to know where their money is going. It's certainly, look, we're not, like, it's not good for the likes of organisations. DJ O'Carey had a jersey on him, remember, involved in charity work like Hurling for Cancer. And that's a great fundraiser. But he, I think people can see the difference between what he was doing and what genuine fundraising
and
is all about.
Hopefully they can. Yeah, Eimear, listen, brilliant. The Dodger, DJ Carey and The Great Betrayal, available in bookstores now. Thanks for taking
the
time
Jeremy.
To talk to us about it this morning. That's Eimear Ní Bhreann on there, journalist and author now of that book.